Yes? All the work that has to be done at this citadel is to be even remotely defensible against what is coming.
I did,
she responded curtly.
Then let us help each other, he replied.
That seemed to perk her attention.
And how would we do that, my lord?
You have men who would be able to repair and work the mine, now that it is safe once again. He waited until a nod confirmed his suspicions before continuing.
You have men with no mine to work, and I have a mine with no men presently to work it.
Gustava frowned.
You would have me pay for what belongs to me?
My men risk their lives for what belongs to you. It seems only fair, he retorted. I would require the whole of the mine's production for 1 month. After that, my men will turn possession of it over to you.
She considered his offer for several seconds before she shook her head.
I would be sacrificing too much. Half of the production.
You have to spend money to make money. Without my soldiers, you would have nothing, Caden shot back. But very well. 4/5.
3,
Gustava started to say, the words dying in her throat as she saw his expression darken, and decided it was best not to press her luck.
1 month?
1 month, he nodded.
I would have this agreement in writing.
The woman's mouth twitched with the slightest hint of a smile.
A contract, as you said.
A wise decision, he chuckled. I will have Roberta prepare the paperwork for you before the end of the turn.
Turn?
She asked, eyes narrowing as a brief snicker ran through the assembled players.
End of the afternoon, Caden clarified with some embarrassment. When is the earliest your men will be able to start?
I can have them here on tomorrow.
Excellent, he replied, ignoring Celia as she tented her fingertips in a decidedly Mr. Burns fashion at his choice of words. Escort Dame Bonaventura to one of the sitting rooms to await Roberta. As a pair of guardsmen peeled off to obey his instructions, Caden ushered the last of the three Elon forward with nothing more than a beckoning of his fingertips. Not for the first time, Caden marveled at how absurd it was for him to be ordering anyone around, let alone Elon nobility.
Well met, Field Marshal.
The red-haired man began, a thick but impossible-to-place accent tinging the words as he strode forward. One hand rested on the jewel-encrusted pommel of a sheathed blade, but there was no threat to it, just the calm collectedness of a well-trained swordsman.
I am Azazi, of the 49 Blades.
The words meant nothing to Caden, but they meant everything to Silver, judging by the way the young woman gasped in surprise and made her way to stand beside him.
Someone I ought to know? He asked.
An NPC mercenary band, she whispered low enough not to be overheard. They start showing up in quest chains at floor 40 and up. Tread lightly.
Caden nodded, then turned his attention back to the green-eyed warrior.
Well met, Azazi of the 49 Blades, he said. How can I be of assistance to you?
It is quite the reverse, Field Marshal,
the man replied with a hint of bemusement.
Unlike your other guests, I have come not beg of you, but offer my services to you.
And what services would those be?
The forward nature of the question was the right reply, judging by the smirk that continued to spread across Azazi's face.
They are twofold,
the man explained.
I am here on behalf of the Blades to offer services of some of our lesser companies to your cause, should you have need of them in your upcoming battles.
A way to spend our zenny, if nothing else, Caden murmured under his breath before raising his voice to be heard once again. And the other?
The opening of tombs has opened new possibilities as well.
Azazi's smirk became a wolfish grin that Caden found far from reassuring.
There are opportunities available during this war that my organization requires assistance to exploit fully. Well-paying opportunities.
A quest giver as well, then.
They'd expected something like this to come along, if only because it wouldn't be much of an event if the only people able to meaningfully contribute were those selected to run the various fortresses.
And where would we find you, assuming we want to take advantage of these services you are offering?
Celia asked. Azazi turned his smile in her direction, its edges softening as his eyes studied her in a decidedly less than professional fashion.
Admittedly, I'd hoped a field marshal would provide me lodgings.
So you do want something from me, Caden said wryly.
Quite right,
Azazi laughed. Even his laughter seemed to hold a hint of that accent, each chuckle a distinct ha as he dipped his head in defeat.
You have caught on to my plan. So, what shall be my punishment?
A room in the tower, I would think.
It was impossible not to laugh alongside the man, though Caden wondered just how much of it was an effect rather than genuine humor.
We have an abundance of offices as well, if that will suffice.
You are most gracious to this lying man,
he nodded.
Well, you can return my gratitude with an answer.
Anything within my knowledge.
Are you the only one of your organization who has presented himself?
Caden asked. Azazi shook his head.
No, there are 10 of my brethren dispersed throughout the floor.
Well, there goes that plan, Caden sighed. Having access to the only quest-giving NPC could have given him leverage to dictate a more comprehensive strategy to the other players. No such luck.
Thank you, Azazi, he said at last.
It is my pleasure, Field Marshal,
the man replied.
These men will...
Forgiveness, but I have one final gift for you as well.
The warrior's left hand went to his side, where a scroll was tied to his hip. Deft fingers loosened the knot without looking before he tossed the roll of parchment neatly into Caden's lap.
Call it an offer of good faith.
Caden reached for the scroll, then stopped.
This isn't anything dangerous, is it, Azazi?
One red eyebrow raised in reply to the question.
What harm could a scroll do?
You would be surprised, Silver said, taking a half-step away from Caden as the young man began to unroll the document.
What he found was a map. With all the time he had spent stooped over the warframe, it took only seconds for Caden to recognize the area and correctly orient the map. The map showed Bastion and its environs, out to perhaps 15 or 20 miles. All the landmarks he expected to find were there, along with a few others his scouts had yet to report. A small keep labeled Bonaventura, as well as a spot several miles distant marked, ominously, with a skull.
I'm going to regret asking this, but what is this skull?
Azazi only smiled.
That would be a sub-tomb, one positively brimming with warden troops.
Chapter 13 Day 2. Morning Turn. Resources. F, 260 plus 10. Z, 260 plus 10. M, 130 plus 10. I, 190 plus 20. P plus 17. R plus 10. Completed. Lower Township Repair 2.
There you are, Silver said. We've been waiting for you in the courtyard for 20 minutes. We're going to be late.
Caden looked up from the warframe.
It's only...
he started to say before his eyes caught sight of the actual time on his display.
Okay, yeah, I'm late.
The look of dismay on his features tempered Silver's irritation, her expression softening as she studied the palpable frustration upon his.
Still trying to puzzle it out?
Thought I'd give it one last go before we headed out, yeah.
And no luck?
None,
Caden sighed, waving her over.
It was a familiar sight, one they'd spent much of the previous evening looking at from every possible angle.
A warden tomb 13 miles from the keep, with 3 small stacks of miniature soldiers filling the hex before its entrance in what Valceris had termed a division. A division was formed when multiple formations occupied the same hex and could be created from up to 10 separate formations, It offered no direct statistical bonuses over formations spread over multiple hexes, but there were plenty of strategic or other tactical advantages. You could hide vulnerable units, such as archers within a division, using screening tactics to force enemies to engage your defensive units first. Likewise, you could compress a much larger force into fewer hexes, minimizing the danger of things like hit-and-run tactics. Also, a division would only vacate their hex entirely once all units had been individually forced to retreat, which was, near as Caden could guess, the primary reason for the Warden Division. With three units directly in front of the tomb, it would be that much harder to dislodge them and gain access. Half a dozen windows were open on the warframe, but the one dead center was the first to catch her attention.
Warden Infantry. Formation. Type. Infantry. Warden. Level. Question mark. Unit count, 100 out of 100. Formation bonus, plus 6. HP, 100 out of 100. MP, 0 out of 0. TP, 100 out of 100. Move. Question mark. Attack. 1,800. 10 base, plus 6 formation, plus 1 leadership, plus 1 war master. Defense. 1,700. 10 base, minus 1 racial, plus 6 formation, plus 1 leadership, plus 1 war master. Special construct traits. Resistances. Question mark. Question mark. Question mark. Weaknesses. Question mark.
Is this accurate? Silver asked. I don't see any reason for it not to be.
But how?
She frowned, looking down to the frame itself.
We didn't get information like this on the Beast Men until we fought them.
Tried something new, he explained, directing her attention to a single banner several hexes away from the Warden forces. At a touch, it expanded to detail an individual Elan soldier with only 2 remaining HP. Silver examined the soldier's information for several seconds before it finally clicked.
You sent one of the scouts in by himself.
Like an IP ping, Caden nodded. We get the same information whether we send a single soldier or a formation. I gave him orders to retreat immediately once the battle was joined, then used all of his movement to get him as far away as possible.
Clever, Silver admitted grudgingly. But isn't he still at risk? That is only 7 hexes.
A frown crossed his face. If they go after him, he is done without question, though it will put either one formation or the whole division out of position unless they have a lot more movement than we expected.
Acceptable losses, then, she asked.
As his frown deepened, she reached out, placing one hand on his wrist and squeezing gently.
Look, about what I said the other day.
Nothing to say, he reached out, swiping away the warden's statistics. We're going to have casualties. You were right.
And you're okay with that?
Caden sighed and shook his head. No. But I can't see any way around it. He pointed to the frame as he spoke. 300 Warden infantry in a single division. We outnumber them by a full 100, and between Valseris's War Master bonus and their racial penalties, we hit a hell of a lot harder, but there isn't anything to finesse here. Nothing but us slamming our units into theirs until they go down.
No easy coup de main, Silver said.
Exactly.
A half-assed Kobayashi Maru.
Caden's eyebrows raised. Never took you for a Trekkie.
I'm not. My dad...
The girl winced, a sudden fragility to her features as the board suddenly absorbed her attention.
The point is, maybe this is the developer's way of teaching you that you aren't going to flawlessly win each battle. It wouldn't be the first time he's included something to help players psychologically adjust to something that would be horrifying in the real world.
Don't suppose you can think of any good way to cheat? Caden said after considering her words.
Afraid not.
He lingered briefly before replying. Worth a shot. Let me just lock in the orders before we go. Their battle plan was simple. A road ran to within 2 hexes of the sub-tomb, and as he had learned during his initial estimates for how long it would take the enemy to reach Bastion, travel by road was greatly accelerated. His units gained an additional hex of movement for every 2 they spent, which would allow them to travel most of the distance to the sub-tomb in a single turn. Once the midday turn started, they'd go off-road, stack into a single division, and march on the wardens. The third and fourth would take point, a terrible pun as Celia had been delighted to draw attention to, with orders similar to those they'd used on the beastmen. A defensive stance aimed at minimalizing casualties while still drawing the win. Their goal was to force a retreat out of the entire warden division to allow Caden and his group to lay claim to the tomb entrance, which was where their quest came in. Event quest. Halt the awakening. Requirements. Defeat the commander of the nearby sub-tomb and return his ceremonial weapon to Azazi of the 49 Blades. Reward. 22,000 XP. The quest had been the last of Azazi's gifts. The mercenary, shockingly, had ulterior motives in telling them the location of the active sub-tomb. He wanted something from inside it. Even though he knew the Elon man was effectively programmed to behave in this fashion, it didn't keep Caden from feeling like he was kind of a dick. Still, the information had informed their strategy. The quest called the enemy boss the commander of the sub-tomb. It was a bit of a stretch, but he hoped that by killing the boss, they could rob the enemy forces of their War Master bonus. Perhaps if they were lucky, they'd even go all Phantom Menace and shut down entirely. A man could dream.
"We've got this," Silver offered her most reassuring smile as she saw Caden's hand lingering over the warframe.
"I wish I had your confidence," he murmured.
Only a small amount of bookkeeping remained once he had set the orders. As promised, Dame Bonaventura had sent engineers to begin repairs on the mine. At 10 production per turn, the mine should be up and operational by the following morning, which was better than he could have hoped for. Even without it, the completion of the second set of lower township repairs had increased their total production to 17, and as expected, had opened a new option. Lower township repair. Lower in class as much as location, this district grows the backbone of any fledgling town. 3 out of 6. Cost, 60 production. Civilian housing, plus 750. Production, plus 3.
The repairs were nothing if not consistent. Caden selected the third set of lower township repairs as his next in queue item after the completion of the upcoming tower repairs. It'd take a little bit over a day for this one section of repairs, and likely longer still for the ones after that, but he was hoping that seeing one of the lines of repair through to its conclusion would provide something more than the linear increases that they'd seen thus far. If it didn't, at least he'd still see continuing boosts to production which should help them in the long run. Finally, he turned his attention to the last remaining window.
"This action will cost 200 grand zenny. Are you sure? Y. N."
The action in question was the hiring of one of Azazi's mercenary bands, an option that had appeared on the warframe the previous evening, shortly after they had accepted their first contract from him. It was an expensive proposition. Even with the 100 grand zenny they had earned from their site search of the mine, 200 was nearly enough to wipe out the entire treasury, and even that would only earn them a single day's worth of assistance. The soldiers were worth it, of course. Even their most basic units had equipment and experience that far outstripped anything Caden could field. Bringing them along would vastly reduce friendly casualties, but he'd hesitated all the same. He could do this with his own troops without spending a dime, after all. Provided he could stomach the losses. If only the mercenaries accepted payment in regular zenny, it wouldn't have been a problem. Silver had happily offered to throw money at the problem, but to no avail. The developer wouldn't allow a cheat that simple. Caden drew a deep breath, reached for the floating window, and declined the offer.
"We should probably get going before Celia sends a search party," Caden remarked.
Silver only laughed.
"Caden, who exactly do you think sent me in the first place?"
"So that is the tomb, huh?"
Shifty asked as the party waited on a ridgeline overlooking the open field beneath them.
Yeah, why?
Came Caden's curious reply.
Just not what I expected,
the older man said with a shrug. Celia looked up from the spellbook in her lap, a bemused look crossing her expression.
What did you expect it to look like?
Something more, I don't know, tombish? I'm not asking a lot here,
he shot back at the sarcasm in Celia's tone.
Sloped roof, statues, maybe some columns or gargoyles or something?
But not a hole in the ground,
Celia teased him.
Definitely not a hole in the ground.
Well, they do have statues, Michael pointed out, calling attention to the plains beneath them once again as the enemy forces crested a small depression that had kept them momentarily out of view.
Lots and lots of statues.
None of them had been quite prepared for their first glimpses of the Wardens. They'd been told the Wardens had been crafted to guard the Lyre King, but for whatever reason, all of them had envisioned some form of monstrous humanoid or other inhuman beast. Once Caden had seen construct traits on the warframe, his imagination had shifted to a more robotic enemy, so even he was unprepared for a literal terracotta army out of his grade school history class. Nor did things get any better the longer they watched them. There was a certain uncanny valley effect in the way the stone soldiers moved, in large part because they were just that. Stone soldiers. Their bodies were rigid in general, but they could still move with a fluidity that seemed all but impossible. Stone shouldn't move under its own power, but if it did, it sure as hell shouldn't move like that.
No archers, Silver commented.
The mage had bemoaned her lack of divination spells to help her watch the battle for much of the trip. In the end, it had taken a pair of binoculars from Shifty to mollify some, but not all of her complaints.
Few nasty-looking spears.
Not much we can do about it now, Caden replied.
There was a certain freedom to knowing that the orders were set through to the evening turn. Valseris had remained behind in Bastion to watch the warframe and adapt their tactics should things go wildly off the rails, but absent that, the die was already cast, and they had only to wait and see if it would be a 1, a 20, or something in between. Not that the freedom had kept him from trying to experiment and push the envelope on their march to the subtomb. For one thing, he'd learned that his troops could use ranged weapons. Just not well. If he put a crossbow in the hands of a trooper, as he had, the man could be instructed to fire it, even if his accuracy was lacking. Nothing useful in the short term, but if they ended up defending Bastion itself, it would be good to know that his troops could be ordered to throw rocks. For another, rules regarding the movement of troops were absolute. It had been an easy enough trial. They'd followed along with the first until the unit reached the limit of its movement, then he'd asked one of the soldiers to follow him far enough that they'd have crossed into the following hex. At first, the soldier had come up with excuses. He needed to eat or had orders to do this or that. When it became clear that Caden would not take no for an answer, he became somewhat insubordinate. It had taken three of them to slow walk the Elon soldier to the edge of the hex, the man becoming more and more averse to the point they had to carry him the last few steps. All of it was nothing more than an attempt by the developer to keep from impacting their similitude of his game. The moment they reached the hex wall, the soldier could go no further. His body stopped by an invisible field that permitted players, but not soldiers. There would be no circumventing movement rules by way of forced movement. That much was certain.
Going well so far, Silver continued.
Which is our cue to get moving, Caden replied. Grab your things. I want us in there as soon as our troops clear the hex.
Staying out of the combat had been a hard decision, but a necessary one. Much like the forced movement, none of them had any idea how their presence would affect the combat power or other facets of the planned battle, and a fight as close as this one was not the proper opportunity for them to test things. Caden had insisted on going so far as to stay fully outside of the hex itself, lest their very presence throw a wrench into the plan. Of course, that also meant they had the better part of a mile to hike before they could even begin exploring the subtomb. With only a handful of hours before the start of the Warden turn, they were cutting things close. Even without the walk.
All right, everybody, let's mosey,
Caden announced. A brief pause followed his words, followed by uproarious laughter.
Let's mosey?
Shifty snorted between waves of laughter.
Since when are you some banjo-playing farm boy? It's a refer-
Turns out we didn't actually beat Caden's doppelganger after all,
Celia giggled.
Lucky for us, its factory setting was 19th century southern aristocrat.
Welp, time to hit the old dusty trail,
Michael added in his best, but still awful, southern accent.
Oh, for- Caden started, his attention turning to Silver. You get it, right?
Her smile said she did, but the shake of her head denied it all the same.
Oh, no. Do not bring me into this.
Caden's head sagged in defeat as he summoned his sword to hand and began to march down the slope of the hill.
Fine, whatever, you uncultured swine. Come on, then.
The jovial mood of the party darkened as they crossed the open field. The tail end of the battle was still raging, its noise and smells an uncomfortable mixture as they drew near. Babel might be a mostly bloodless game, but it still had sweat and tears and screams. But only from their allies. Even on the retreat, the Warden army didn't voice a single cry.
There is our opening, Michael remarked as the last of the Warden units began an orderly withdrawal. His forces harried them. But unlike the beastmen they had picked apart so easily on the retreat, the Warden troops fought fiercely in formation even as they gave ground. He was no military tactician, but even a layman could see that the Warden troops would not be quickly swept aside once defeated. Ahead of them, Bastion's soldiers had discarded one form of tool for another, hundreds of them putting shovel to soil or collecting materials from the small number of supply wagons they had brought with them. This had been part of his strategy as well. The reason the location of that road had proven so fortuitous. It left his units with just enough movement that they could begin to fortify themselves against what he saw as an inevitable counterattack.
Half soldier, half construction worker. And people ask me why I never joined up with the army, Shifty marveled.
Three sets of eyes fell upon the rotund rogue, but it was Celia who took the easy shot.
Really? That is why you didn't join the army?
Why, young miss, I'll have you know that when I was your age...
Regale us about the Big Bang some other time, Shifty, Caden cut in. You're up.
This isn't over, Shifty frowned, his steps picking up speed until he was moving at a light jog ahead of the rest of the marching group.
The difference meant he reached the entrance to the tomb half a minute before they did, which gave him plenty of time to scour the entrance for traps. As it turned out, he found two. A pressure plate activated what they suspected would be a barrage of poison darts, while a misstep would send them plunging 40 feet down into the most traditional trap imaginable.
Not exactly the most original defenses, Shifty remarked with a grin as his party members approached, instructing them how to circumvent the pressure sensor, and which side of the tight hallway would send them falling into a pit of spikes versus which would not.
Sometimes the classics work best, Michael replied as he awkwardly shimmied around the edge of the pit trap in armor that was not exactly made for delicate movement.
And sometimes they are just really good at instilling a false sense of security, Caden cautioned. I'm keeping my eyes open, Shifty assured him as he stepped aside to let Caden lead the way into the torchlit darkness.
The outside might not have looked very tombish, as Shifty had described it, but the inside certainly did. Every inch of the place looked positively ancient. If a surface was not covered in a small mountain of dust, it was adorned with a frightful amount of spider webs. Trickles of water had formed natural interruptions in the artificial corridors, the various ancient texts that adorned the walls worn down to almost nothing by the ravages of time. One other thing it had in common was that it was eerily empty and frighteningly quiet. Considering the mass of Warden soldiers guarding the entrance, they had planned on considerable resistance, yet they'd found none. There were terracotta soldiers inside, dozens, perhaps hundreds more that filled alcoves and lay across sealed caskets, but they were either ornamental or inactive. It was also tighter than they'd expected. The walls were close enough to one another that Shifty and Caden had to turn at an angle to fit through the narrowest parts of the passages, while poor Michael was forced to stoop and bow almost constantly.
There were runes here or there, highlighted by Caden's occasional use of fine rune, but they'd have to wait. What had looked like little more than a hovel from the surface was expansive beneath, with branching passageways that sloped up and down seemingly at random, as though the tomb itself were designed to confound those searching it, which he supposed it was.
"This is going to take a while," Silver said as they reached their third intersection.
"Maybe we should split the..."
Celia started, only to trail off as the absurdity behind her own words struck her.
"You were going to say split the party, weren't you?" Michael teased.
"No,"
she replied unconvincingly.
"Even still, it might not be the worst idea. We're stuck going single files anyway, so it isn't like..."
"What is the number one rule of tabletop gaming?" Michael asked.
"This isn't..."
Celia cut herself off with a frown as Michael's body language shifted.
"It's don't split the party, but that doesn't necessarily apply here."
"I thought the number one rule was thou shalt not lose caster levels," Silver smirked.
"She's right," Caden said.
"Thank you, Caden," Silver smiled sweetly. "I remember because the second was thou shalt not lose caster levels. Verily, this rule is unto like the first, but is of such important..."
"I meant Celia," he snorted. "This place is way too huge for us to be able to find anything before it rolls over to the warden's turn."
Silver's face darkened. "So we let the Elon take a bit of a bigger hit and make sure we do this properly."
A pause hung in the air before Shifty spoke. "What would we do for party splits?"
"You can't really be considering..."
"Celia would go with me, and you three could go together," Caden said. "Michael can tank decently against anything we expect to find, and the two of you do so much damage that he won't have to do so for long."
To Caden's surprise, Michael nodded at the suggestion.
"All the wardens outside were at or around level 10. We can handle that, and we can retreat if we stumble on anything bigger."
"Works for me,"
Celia nodded.
"I'm being outvoted again, aren't I?" Silver asked icily.
"You're the one who wanted to tag along in the first place," Caden reminded her.
"To keep you from doing anything stupid," she scowled. "Can we at least try and keep close to one another?"
"Yeah, that we can manage."
They managed it for all of 15 minutes. The convoluted nature of the tomb had made any attempt at keeping one group close to the other an exercise in frustration. Even attempts to run parallel to one another through the series of right-angle passageways were frustrated by subtle changes in depth that left one party passing under the other rather than meeting up as expected. A running map was kept, of course, which meant they were only separated from one another in a practical sense, too far away to help in a hurry if something were to go wrong. Neither group was truly lost. Not with mapping software that would supply helpful directions to either the exit or to their companions at a moment's notice.
"At the next stack of dubiously humanoid bones, turn left," Caden muttered.
"What?"
Celia said, her steps picking up slightly as she realized she was lingering too far behind him.
"Nothing," he assured her, a smile cast over his shoulder. "Just being smarmy."
"What else is new?"
the girl inquired.
"Hey, I resemble that,"
Caden paused mid-sentence as the scrape of a stone footstep alerted him to danger ahead. The two of them waited together in silence, but they didn't have to wait long. Just ahead of them, a warden rounded the corner with short sword in hand. Its face was stern, but it was an unmoving expression, one crafted onto its very features. The more he watched it, the more difficult it became to shake the discomfort that washed over Caden. It was his first time seeing one of the stone men up close, and he didn't like it. The way it moved felt as though it were violating the very laws of nature, like watching the skeletons from Jason and the Argonauts. The movements were wrong. Not quite choppy, but not fluid either. Stone moved in a way it was not meant to move, then solidified with each step, as if the statue were being crafted and recreated with each movement. Only one thing stood out from the drab, cracked stone warrior, and that was the steel in its hands. The blade of the short sword was metal, steel that gleamed in the firelit hallway as the warrior advanced.
"At least we're probably going the right way," Caden remarked wryly.
If Celia gave any reply to his quip, it was smothered by the clatter of body against shield as the stone man picked up speed, the crunch of its footsteps resounding down the short distance between them as fast as the warrior himself. For a man made of stone, the terracotta warrior was fast.
Warden soldier hits you for 92 physical. Blocked.
He hit hard as well. Too hard for a mere level 10. Skill use. Observe.
Warden skirmisher. Level 12. Elite. HP. 1,800 out of 1,800. MP. 0 out of 0. TP. 1,150 out of 1,150. Skills unknown. Resistances. Earth. 50%. Weaknesses. Water. 100%. Special. Construct traits.
An elite. That explained it. Elite monsters were one step removed from boss monsters, a Starscream to the more frightful Megatron. At equal levels and numbers, they posed a substantial, but not necessarily life-threatening concern. When they were out-leveled and outnumbered, not so much. Caden grunted as he pushed back with his shield, shoving the warden soldier back far enough to open distance to attack.
Skill use, Southern Cross.
A sensation of warmth flooded his limbs as he felt the usual loss of control take hold, bringing him through the motions of the skill and inflicting significant damage to the stone soldier in a quick 1-2 of downward and horizontal strikes.
Pain of the past, return to the present. Old wounds.
Celia incanted only a few steps behind him. A glow of light accompanied the words, a small ring of magical energy pulsing from beneath the chronomagi's feet as she directed her arcane energies at the already stumbling warden. The effect was immediate, a half-dozen new cracks appearing in their opponent's stone facade. Caden knew they didn't need healing for a fight like this, and it was always satisfying to work alongside a party member who was smart enough to make the same sort of deductions.
For once, it might be nice if the right way didn't involve things that wanted to kill us,
Celia replied, at last, a brief sigh falling from her lips as she started to cast a new spell. In the end, they made incredibly short work of the warden. Elite or no, a level 12 enemy wasn't going to stand up to players of their caliber for long.
Crazy suggestion. What do you think about going this way?
Celia said, indicating the right-hand corridor that the warden had come from.
You had me at crazy suggestion, Caden replied to a giggle from Celia.
The passage ahead of them sloped down, and unlike most of those they'd come across so far, there didn't appear to be any offshoots. It ran straight for a distance, then curved sharply for a few dozen feet before going straight once again. After the third such curve, the design became clear, a corkscrew pattern leading them deeper and deeper into the depths of the dungeon.
"Guys, I think we've got something here," Caden said after toggling the party chat feature on his display.
Then, after a few seconds without a reply, he repeated,
"Silver? Shifty? Celia, can you..."
The girl held up a finger in reply, apparently already on it.
"Hello? Shifty, you there?"
A few seconds passed before she turned her attention fully in Caden's direction, shrugging with a combination of confusion and worry.
"Maybe we're too deep?"
"It isn't like these things use cell towers," Caden said dubiously.
Even so, he was struggling for a better answer. To his knowledge, there was no skill, monster, or environment in all of Babel, save for the chamber of an unbeaten floor boss that should disable voice comms. Party chat was so secure that they hadn't even bothered to test it before splitting up.
"Maybe something in the area, though? Let's go back up."
Caden edged past Celia in the narrow hallway and took the lead once more. It was a harder walk back up the slope than it had been down it, but he didn't murmur a single complaint. At least, not until they'd rounded their fourth curve.
"Okay, something is very wrong," he murmured. "Command, map."
"Oh,"
Celia said softly, after trying, and likewise failing, to open her own map.
"That isn't good, is it?"
Chapter 14.
"We must have passed through an instance barrier," Caden said with a frown. His hands worked fruitlessly through the air, manipulating the AR display in an attempt to force open his map. Instead, he was greeted with the same reply as before, a grumpy-sounding audio cue that told him he'd selected an invalid option.
"The hallway?"
Celia asked, though she already knew the answer. "Considering we can't go back up?" "Yeah, I'd say so," he agreed.
That hadn't stopped them from trying, but after traveling twice the distance upwards as they had descended, it seemed a fair assumption.
"I've never really heard of a gate like this, though. One that traps you without warning."
"It is probably just that, then. A trap."
Caden bit back the desire to swear. Celia was probably right. If they'd been with Shifty, his trap sense ability probably would have alerted him in some fashion before they'd started on their way down.
"So this is why you don't split the party?"
Celia said with an infectious giggle, one that soon had Caden chuckling alongside her despite himself.
"Could be worse, I suppose. I could have been trapped down here with Silver instead of you."
She had a point. Caden could certainly think of worse people to be stuck with. Michael, for one.
"Well, we don't know that we're trapped," Caden said, tipping his head towards the downslope. "We can't go up, but it is still possible there is something besides an infinite tunnel if we keep going down."
"It is also possible that something is a boss with a ceremonial weapon who will wreck our faces,"
Celia noted.
"Do you have a better plan?" Caden asked.
"I do not."
"Well, that settles that then."
It was possible that someone from the other half of their party would notice they were missing sooner rather than later, that they might even track Caden and Celia back to where they'd disappeared, but it wasn't one he planned to hold his breath for. Instead, the pair returned their attention to the downward slope and began walking. Soon enough, just as they were beginning to think that the loop went both ways, their boldness was rewarded by the sight of a pair of crackling braziers at the foot of the slope. It was the first new thing they'd seen in several minutes, their faces lighting up in both a literal and metaphorical sense.
"So do we..."
Celia started, before she found Caden's gloved fingertip pressed mere inches from her lips, hushing her. He said nothing in reply, but instead sunk lower into his stance, adopting a half-crouch as he sheathed his sword. His next steps forward were slow and measured, each well-prepared for as he shifted his weight from one foot to the next in an attempt to minimize the clank and scrape of his metal armor.
"Tarionta,"
Caden whispered the runic words and extended his free hand. Under other circumstances, Celia couldn't begin to hazard a guess as to the sort of magic that radiated from Caden's outstretched fingertips to form a glittering, transparent barrier. But given the context, she had her suspicions.
"An illusion?"
she asked, just barely above a breath. When he nodded, she smiled. The magical shield Caden held in front of him was enough to cover them both. All she had to do was keep quiet. Slowly, carefully, the pair advanced until they reached the bottom of the slope, where at last the inside of the room was visible. It was smaller than either had suspected, a stone-walled room just barely larger than the strategy room where Caden had been spending so much time as of late. It was a particularly apt comparison, considering the large, ornate table that dominated the room, and the warden who stood studying paper maps laid out atop it, his side to the doorway, oblivious to the players watching him. That would probably be their guy.
skill use. Observe,
Caden said, just barely loud enough for his mirror to register the words. Warden Officer. Level 15. Boss. HP. ? MP. ? TP. ? Skills. Unknown. Resistances. Earth, 50%. Weaknesses. Water, 100%. Special. Construct traits. Defensive.
Caden turned his head in Celia's direction and caught the gaze of the young time mage. It was too dangerous to talk, but that meeting of the minds spoke for them. She saw the same stats he did, and she knew the danger. The boss was 5 levels lower than them, but it was still a boss, still a very significant threat when there were only 2 of them to fight it. They had 30 minutes before the rollover to the warden turn. Once that happened, the boss's behavior might change. It might leave, or others might awaken and join it. It was a certainty that its troops would launch an attack against his, with his full War Master bonus, if the officer were still alive. Shifty, Michael, and Silver could arrive at any time, but counting on their arrival within the next few minutes was a bad gamble. Even finding their way to where Celia and Caden had disappeared would probably take longer than they had. Still, if it were any other player, they'd have shaken their head. Shifty had to think about more than himself. Michael only thought about himself, and Silver didn't care about the Elan enough to risk her neck. Caden wasn't actually sure that Celia did either, but she cared about what Caden thought, which was enough to draw a slow smile and an eventual nod. Just the 2 of them against a boss monster? What could go wrong? Caden returned her smile and turned his shield arm until she could see his fingers. He waited for another sign. Then, once Celia was ready, he began to count on his fingers. 5, 4, 3, 2. The 2 burst from the doorway as Caden's illusionary barrier scattered away from his sword hand like glittering leaves. Caden did not attempt to disguise the noise of his approach, the albithe steel of his mage blade singing as it cleared his scabbard, then cracking sharply as it crashed against the stone neck of the terracotta warrior. No scream of alarm or cry of pain accompanied the blow, only the clatter of papers and books as the sheer force of Caden's advance drove the half-turned officer against the table. The creature's left arm was pinned to the frame by the weight of its own body as the warden reached for the blade sheathed at his hip. They couldn't give him a moment to breathe, Caden knew. Humanoid boss monsters were among the most easily exploited category of boss enemies, in large part because they mimicked something that existed in reality. A manticore or an ogre didn't have to obey laws of physics the way a humanoid enemy might, their strength and unnatural weapons precluding the sort of rush tactics that worked on real-world humans. He couldn't grapple with a dragon, but he could prevent a warden from drawing his sword, at least for a time. Personal skill use, shield bash, Caden intoned a moment before he drove the curved edge of his shield into the head of his opponent, a critical damage notification appearing along with the stun indicator on the warden officer's call-out. Despite their main weakness, humanoid enemies were often amongst the most dangerous of Babel's opponents, ironically, for a very similar reason. An enormous beast like, say, the Mecha, typically kept to predictable patterns once engaged in combat, while a humanoid type fought more naturally, with feints, parries, and adaptations.
"Embrace the moment, accept your fate, slow time!"
Celia finished chanting behind him, and not a moment too soon. His stun effect had been short-lived, as it always was on a boss-type enemy, and once free of it, the warden had finally managed to draw the short sword at its side clear of the sheath. Under the effects of Celia's magical slowness, that wasn't so much of a threat.
"Skill use, Southern Cross," Caden said as he slipped to the side of the warden's first thrust.
It would barely last longer than the stun, he knew, but while it lasted, the officer was of little threat to them. It was like fighting an opponent covered in molasses, only quite a bit less sticky. His own moves, however, were crisp and clean as always. The skill took over control of his body, drawing him through the same two-cut motion he had performed hundreds of times, each cut shaving off an appreciable amount of the officer's HP. It was a relief to see his sword do that much damage. The boss wasn't invincible. It wasn't even particularly durable. They could win this. The warden's sudden increase in speed caught Caden off guard as he gloated, a surprised backhand catching him cleanly across the jaw as Celia shouted in alarm. It stung, though the HP loss stung quite a bit more, a bit of instant karma as the warden took the opportunity to put some space between them.
"I'm fine. Just cocky," Caden grumbled, the damage already fading as Celia's future theft drastically increased his healing speed at the cost of some of his future regeneration.
If the warden could talk, it chose to say nothing as it finished its backpedaling, 15 feet of distance separating the two swordsmen. Its gaze occasionally flickered in Celia's direction, but Caden had done it far more damage and thus garnered more threat than Celia's heals had provoked so far. She was safe, at least, for the time being. Curiously, the warden spun its short sword with an unnatural flourish as it reversed its grip on the blade, holding it point downward, the business side of the single-edged short sword towards Caden, while the flat of the weapon rested back against its forearm. A defensive stance, Caden recognized, but behavior quite unusual for a boss fight. They didn't usually let their enemy take a breather.
"Well, if you're not coming, I guess I have to," Caden said, picking up speed with his shield before him as he drew back his sword arm.
The kick to his instep nearly buckled Caden's entire leg as it brought him up short, a pair of short jabs bouncing off the upraised shield in a way that made Caden's bones hurt just thinking about it. The only thing the warden didn't attack with was its short sword. The weapon kept close to its body. Its edge turned to intercept Caden's attack, parrying it aside almost effortlessly.
"Ah, so that's how it is going to be," Caden frowned.
There was a name for the fighting style, and a player class that practiced it, but both eluded him as he took his turn to put distance from the boss. It explained the comparatively low HP, even for an underleveled boss. The warden fought with active mitigation the same way he did, only it used a blade as its shield and its other limbs as its weapons.
He might not remember the name of the style, but he remembered why he'd disqualified it early on in his decision about what to play. It was great at martial mitigation, but it sucked at fighting mages. "Swing away, Celia."
"What?"
the girl asked in confusion.
"DPS. Do damage," Caden insisted.
"You know I'm the healer, right?"
"Just do it," Caden called back at her, taking a quick sidestep to dodge another kick and position himself more squarely between Celia and the warden officer.
"Okay, you asked for it. Skill use. If life, death,"
Celia replied. Immediately, one of her hands came up, palm perpendicular to the floor. Magical energy began to flicker around her fingertips and in an infinity symbol beneath her feet as she intoned the words of magic in a steady cadence.
"If there be light, then there is darkness. If cold, heat. If height, depth. If solid, fluid. If hard, soft. If rough, smooth. If calm, tempest. If prosperity, adversity. If life, death."
As the last words fell from Celia's mouth, the lemniscate beneath her feet shattered the glow of its magic forming into her hand before dark tendrils snaked out to ensnare the warden. Caden watched with a mixture of curiosity and horror as the stone of the warden weakened and cracked wherever it was touched by the tendrils, as though decaying before his very eyes. The spell, though powerful, was nowhere near enough to kill the officer, but it was enough to get his attention. It fainted, drawing a block from Caden before it moved to circumvent him, stopped only by a roar from Caden's lips as he taunted, pulling the monster's focus right back where it belonged.
"Hit it again!"
Caden demanded, activating his Grasp the World ability moments before he absorbed another hail of the Warden's blows with the surface of his shield. Celia was correct that she wasn't DPS. The damage done by her best combat spell was barely on par with mid-level magic from a damage-focused class, and its rate of MP usage could best be described as garbage. But it got through the creature's defenses in a way no physical attack was likely to, which made this a damage race. One they would win, so long as the Warden didn't have a second phase or some mystery skill. It did turn out to have a mystery skill. Several, in fact. Yet by the time the Warden began opening up with its illusionary duplicates and high-damage combination attacks, the terracotta foe was already in the bottom quarter of its HP bar, while Caden had saved up more than enough MP to unleash some damage-dealing spells of his own. The fight ended not with a bang, but with a whimper. Well, and also the bang of Caden's explosive wave rune spell. A quiet ding chimed at the back of Caden's AR display as the force of Caden's magic sent the body of the Warden officer flying, its limp and already half-decayed body collapsing into ash as it struck the nearby wall.
"Did you just?"
Celia asked.
"I think I did, yeah," Caden replied.
If Celia heard him, she gave no indication, too busy inside the same menu Caden was all too eager to delve into. It took only a few button presses before he was rewarded with, "You have reached Guardian level 11, plus 40 HP, plus 20 TP. He double-checked that the quest from Azazi remained unfinished, then grinned when it was confirmed. That boss was worth the equivalent of 2 full levels, probably to make up for the fact that they had no other way to level.
"Huh. You know, terrifying death event or no, I could get used to XP gains like these,"
Celia said.
Before Caden could reply, Silver's voice cut in across his headset.
"There you are. Are you guys all right?"
Caden opened his mouth to reply, then closed it when he looked at the level range of his party. Only he and Celia had gained any XP for the encounter.
He was all right now, but he might not be once Michael and Shifty got their hands on him.
Chapter 15. Day 2. Night. Resources. F. 290 plus 10. Z. 295 plus 15. M, 145 plus 5. P, 220 plus 20. R, plus 10. Completed. Key prepare, 2. Dungeon.
"Welcome home, Field Marshal."
"Valseris."
Caden inclined his head in the other man's direction as he entered the strategy room, doing a rather poor job of concealing just how startled he'd been by the Elon's presence.
"I didn't expect anyone to still be up. I estimated your time of arrival and slept accordingly once the evening turn was over,"
the officer responded curtly, though for once Caden was sure he could detect a sliver of a smile hidden just beneath the twists of that neon mustache.
"You're going to teach me how to do that sometime."
The young man was not so hesitant with his smile as he moved to join his officer.
"I twist and turn all evening." "An old soldier's trick, I am afraid. Once you spend enough nights with a rock for a pillow and 2 hours before march, it becomes second nature."
Valseris shuffled to one side to allow Caden extra room in front of the warframe.
"I've left open combat results for your perusal."
"Appreciated," he nodded. "How'd we do, generally?"
"Well..."
The stern man drew his attention to a window on the left side of the warframe that contained the statistics most relevant to his query. "The fighting first. Formation. Type. Infantry. Elon. Level. 1. 70% to next level. Unit count. 98 out of 100. HP. 69 out of 100. MP. 0 out of 0. TP. 82 out of 100. Bastion's second. Formation. Type. Infantry. Elon. Level 1. 35% to next level.
Unit count, 95 out of 100. HP, 63 out of 100. MP, 0 out of 0. TP, 82 out of 100. The pointy third, formation,